Hey there, and welcome to this deep dive.
Ooh, this one sounds exciting.
It is. Today we're doing something a little different.
Oh,
We're diving into a novel.
novel. Cool.
Yeah. Didn't Really Meet You by Trinity Rain.
I've heard of that one.
Have you?
Yeah, I'm intrigued by it.
Me too. You ready to explore the lives of two characters whose paths intertwine in the most unexpected ways?
I'm definitely intrigued, especially since it's inspired by real events.
Exactly. That's what drew me to it.
Yeah.
We'll be focusing on Ray Mai and Tian John,
Okay.
two individuals from completely different worlds brought together by fate.
Sounds intense.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Their story explores themes of love, loss, and the enduring power of connection, things that I think will really resonate with you.
I think so too.
So first we meet Ray Mai, who hails from West Africa.
Okay.
We learn that books and writing were her escape.
I can relate to that.
Right, especially with the backdrop of her parents' separation.
It's interesting how the author portrays her introverted nature.
She's reserved, yet she harbors this deep yearning for adventure. Unlike her peers, who might have dreamed of more traditional paths,
Right.
Ray Mai longed to break free and experience the world beyond her familiar surroundings.
It's like those books she loved became portals to other places and possibilities. And
Absolutely.
she doesn't just dream about it,
No.
she takes action.
Wow.
At 18, she sets off on this incredible journey to Asia with her friend Nwanta.
Wow.
Can you imagine just picking up and going like that at 18?
That takes guts. It speaks volumes about her determination and her thirst for something more than the ordinary.
For sure. And their destination is Mumbai, India,
Oh, wow.
a city that's as vibrant and chaotic as it is full of opportunities.
How about a culture shock?
Right. Mumbai is this incredible melting pot of cultures and experiences,
Yeah.
which perfectly mirrors Ray Mai's adventurous spirit.
I see that.
But as you can imagine, it wasn't all smooth sailing.
Oh, I figured.
They faced quite a few hurdles, especially trying to find work. Language barriers and cultural differences made things even more challenging.
What's striking is their resilience in the face of these obstacles.
Oh,
They
definitely.
find joy in the simplest of things, forming connections with locals and fellow travelers,
Yes.
proving that sometimes the greatest treasures are found in unexpected places.
It's a reminder that sometimes the journey itself is the reward, right?
Definitely.
Okay, so while Remamai is finding her footing in Mumbai,
Yep.
we're also introduced to Tian Zhan, who grew up in the city.
Okay.
He's depicted as this incredibly intelligent and athletic guy.
Interesting.
Yeah, a unique blend of intellectual curiosity and physical prowess.
Cool.
He's also incredibly open-minded and treats everyone with respect, regardless of their background.
This contrast with Remamai's background is fascinating.
Yeah.
They come from completely different worlds,
Totally.
and yet, as the story unfolds, their paths are destined to cross.
And where does this fateful encounter take place?
There.
A cyber cafe.
Oh, wow.
It becomes this haven for Remamai and Nwanta, a
Yeah.
place to connect with the world and each other.
I like that.
They could escape the noise and chaos of Mumbai for a bit and just be.
What's fascinating is that this cyber cafe represents more than just a place to go online.
Oh, for sure.
It becomes a symbol of community and connection, particularly for Ramamai and Nwanta, who are far from home. It's
Right?
a space where they can find a sense of belonging and support.
Absolutely. And it's there they meet Tian Zhan, who's the assistant manager.
Okay.
He's immediately helpful and kind.
Yes.
And they're drawn to his well-rounded personality, his fluency in English, and the depth of his knowledge.
But here's where the story takes an intriguing turn.
Oh.
While Ramamai views Tian Zhan as a friend, he
Oh.
experiences something much deeper.
What?
He falls head over heels in love with her at first sight.
It's like something out of a movie, right?
Yeah.
But here's the catch. He keeps his feelings completely bottled up.
Oh no.
I was practically yelling at the book, just tell her how you feel.
It's that unspoken love that creates a palpable tension that drives the narrative forward.
I can imagine.
Yan Jian is caught in a web of his own fears and insecurities.
Oh, I bet.
He's worried about cultural barriers, financial worries, and the fear of rejection.
All very real concerns.
All these things prevent him from confessing his true feelings.
So he suffers in silence, watching Remai live her life, oblivious to the intensity of his emotions.
Talk about frustrating. I bet you could already sense where this is going.
It's a classic case of what if, a situation many listeners can probably relate to.
Oh, absolutely.
That feeling of missed opportunity, of wondering what might have been if only you'd had the courage to speak your heart.
It's a powerful and universal human experience.
Totally. And just when things couldn't get more complicated, Tianjian announces that he is going abroad to study.
This decision marks a turning point in their relationship.
It does.
Though they promise to stay in touch, the physical distance and lack of regular communication eventually weaken their bond.
It's that age-old question, can a connection survive time and distance?
Right.
It's definitely put to the test.
Yeah.
Years pass, and Remai ends up moving to Europe to build a new life.
Okay.
She's trying to move on, but it's not until her friend Nuwanta reminds her of something significant. Tianjian's email address, Heavenly Love, that she starts to question everything.
That detail is like a whisper from the past, a subtle hint at Tianjian's true feelings that Remai was oblivious to at the time.
Right.
It makes you wonder, what if she had picked up on that clue sooner?
Right. What if? Talk about a mind-blowing realization. But by then, it seems like it might be too late.
Oh, no.
Remai is building a successful career in Europe and even gets married.
Yet, amidst her outward success, there's this underlying sense of emptiness.
I can see that.
Her marriage lacks the depth and genuine connection she craves.
It happens.
Leading her to reflect on her past choices and reminisce about the bond she once shared with Tianjian.
So we have Remai in Europe, seemingly successful, but emotionally unfulfilled. And then, after a decade of silence, Tianjian finds her on social media.
Talk about a plot twist.
I know. This reunion sets the stage for an emotional roller coaster.
I bet.
Their first phone call after all these years unleashes a torrent of confessions, regrets, and unspoken feelings.
Wow.
And Tianjian finally reveals the reasons he held back the cultural differences, the fear of disapproval, and the financial insecurities that prevented him from pursuing Remai all those years ago.
We see firsthand the consequences of that unspoken love.
Yeah.
Tianjian's heartbreak sends him down a path of self-destruction, turning to alcohol to numb the pain of knowing Remai is married to someone else.
It's heartbreaking, but Remai, now more aware of his true feelings, steps up to become a source of support, urging him to confront his emotions head on instead of escaping into the bottle.
Their conversations become a lifeline for both of them.
Yeah.
It's a space where they can be vulnerable with each other and find a bit of solace amidst all the complexity in their lives.
And with Remai's encouragement, Tianjian slowly begins to overcome his addiction. But even though he's healing, the internal conflict doesn't end there.
Oh.
He remains convinced that he and Remai are destined to be together.
He's so fixated on this idea that he refuses to even consider other relationships.
Which, of course, worries Remai.
Of course.
She cares about him and wants to see him find happiness, even if it's not with her.
Right.
She encourages him to be open to finding love with someone else.
It's a selfless act on her part, a true testament to the depth of her care for him.
Yeah.
But as fate would have it, Tianjian ends up in an arranged marriage.
Can you believe it? It's a huge turning point in the story.
It is.
Tianjian goes through with it out of duty, but it's clear his heart belongs to Remai.
Oh, wow.
And she's happy for him on the surface, but she can't help but feel a pang of sadness.
This arranged marriage highlights the complexities of cultural expectations and the sacrifices individuals sometimes make for their families.
Yeah.
It adds another layer of depth to Tianjian's character and his internal struggles.
Definitely. And unfortunately, the marriage doesn't bring him the happiness he hoped for.
I was afraid of that.
He's constantly thinking of Remai, struggling to let go of their shared past.
It's like their connection is this invisible thread that keeps pulling them back towards each other, despite the distance and the choices they've made.
And Remai, seeing his pain, makes a heart-wrenching decision.
What's that?
She cuts off all communication, believing it's the best way to protect both of them and allow Tianjian to focus on his marriage.
She even changes her phone number to emphasize how serious she is.
This act of self-sacrifice is both heartbreaking and incredibly powerful.
It is.
Remai puts Tianjian's well-being above her own feelings, even though it means losing him again.
Wow.
It shows just how much she truly cares for him.
Yeah, it really does.
It's a truly selfless act, but you have to wonder, is this really the end for them?
Well, as they say, life is full of surprises. Years later, Nuwanta, who has been a constant presence in both their lives.
Yeah.
Learns about the struggles Tianjian is facing in his marriage.
So she knows how much Remai still cares.
Exactly. And she decides to intervene.
I knew Nuwanta was going to play a bigger role in all of this. It's like she's their guardian angel nudging them in the right direction.
I like that.
So does Remai actually listen to her?
She does, though. She's hesitant at first.
Of course.
It's a decision fueled by concern and compassion, but also a fear of what reconnecting might stir up.
I understand.
After years of silence, their communication rekindles. but it's heavy with the weight of unspoken feelings and regret.
I can only imagine the mix of emotions that must have come flooding back.
What was it like for them to finally break the silence after all those years?
It's a delicate dance.
Yeah.
Tianjin is clearly still hurting, and he's desperate for any connection with Rimai.
But what's fascinating is how Rimai, despite her own feelings, takes on the role of a guide for him.
Oh.
She encourages him to focus on his marriage, to nurture it with love and understanding, and to find a way to let go of the past.
It's almost like she's become wiser through her own experiences with an unfulfilling marriage.
Exactly. She's able to offer Tianjin a unique perspective,
yeah,
urging him to prioritize his wife's needs and rediscover the reasons they came together in the first place.
And what about Tianjin? Does he resist her advice, or is he open to it?
Surprisingly, he follows her guidance.
Really?
He's desperate for any connection with Rimai, so he takes her words to heart and starts putting in the work to repair his marriage.
Wow, that's a huge step. It sounds like he's really maturing and taking responsibility for his actions.
He is. He's no longer the lovesick young man paralyzed by his feelings.
Right.
He's choosing to face his challenges head on and strive for a better future.
So does his marriage actually improve?
It does, gradually.
Good.
They both start putting in the effort and things start to shift.
That's great.
But, of course, the author doesn't shy away from the complexity of Tianjin's emotions. He's learning to love his wife while still harboring deep feelings for Rimai.
Of course.
It's a difficult balancing act, but one that feels very real and relatable.
It highlights the messy reality of relationships.
It does.
They don't always fit into neat boxes, do they? So how does Rimai deal with all this?
She walks a tightrope of her own.
Oh.
On one hand, she's relieved that Tianjin's marriage is improving.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other, she recognizes the need for boundaries to protect both of them.
And especially given their history. What kind of boundaries does she set?
This is where their evolving dynamic becomes really interesting.
Yeah.
They're both learning to navigate the space between their undeniable connection and the need to respect the lives they've built separately.
I see.
So Rimai makes the difficult decision to refuse any in-person meetings.
That's a bold move.
It is.
I can see why.
She understands that seeing Tianjin face to face could reignite those old feelings and jeopardize the progress they've made. It's another act of self-sacrifice, putting his well-being and the stability of his marriage above her own desires.
Oh, talk about putting someone else's needs before your own. But it sounds like they're finding a new kind of equilibrium.
Yeah.
They're both choosing to prioritize their present lives while still acknowledging the importance of their connection.
Exactly.
And then to complicate things even further.
What?
New Year's Eve rolls around, and well.
Oh, no. I have a feeling something big is about to happen.
You can say that again. New Year's Eve always seems to be the catalyst for big confessions and life-altering decisions. So what goes down between Rimai and Tianjin?
Well, Tianjin calls Rimai, and in an emotionally charged moment, he lays it all out on the table.
What?
He confesses his love, once again calling her his soulmate.
He finally says the words he's been holding back for so long. What's Rimai's reaction? Does she reciprocate?
Her response is incredibly moving. She acknowledges the depth of his feelings and expresses her gratitude for the enduring nature of their connection. But she also makes it clear that she believes their paths have diverged.
Oh.
That their love may forever remain unfulfilled in the traditional sense.
It's like she's accepting the reality of their situation, even though it must be incredibly painful.
Exactly. This exchange highlights a key theme that runs throughout the novel. The idea that love can take many forms.
Right.
A deep connection can bring solace and strength, even when romantic love is unfulfilled.
It's a powerful message.
It is.
It challenges us to expand our definition of love and recognize that there are many ways to experience profound connection.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't where their story ends, right?
Not at all. As the story continues, we see this unconventional love play out in their actions.
Oh.
They find joy in celebrating each other's milestones. Tianjin becomes a father, and they share in the excitement of that new chapter.
Wow.
They've found a way to maintain a bond that transcends romantic love.
It's like they've finally reached a place of peace and understanding. Their connection has evolved into this unique form of friendship and mutual support. It's unconventional, but it clearly works for them.
It really does.
Yeah.
This unconventional ending is incredibly satisfying.
Yeah.
It leaves the reader with a sense of hope. It's a reminder that even amidst heartbreak, missed opportunities, and life's unexpected twists and turns, a deep connection can endure, evolve, and adapt to the circumstances of our lives.
It's so refreshing to see a story that embraces the messiness of real-life relationships and challenges the traditional happily ever after trope.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Didn't Really Meet You, I'm curious, what resonated most with you?
Honestly, I think it's the resilience of both Remaya and Tianjin. They face heartbreak, regret, cultural pressures, and yet they found a way to navigate those challenges, grow as individuals, learn from their mistakes, and ultimately forge a connection that brought them a sense of peace and belonging.
Their story reminds us that even when life throws curveballs, even when we make choices we later regret, there's always the possibility of redemption, of finding a different kind of happiness, and of building relationships that add meaning to our lives, even if they don't fit the conventional mold.
Beautifully said. And it makes you wonder, what truly defines a soulmate? Is it necessarily a romantic partner, or can it be someone who simply understands you on a deeper level, someone who has walked alongside you through life's complexities?
It's a question worth pondering.
It is.
This novel definitely challenges us to rethink conventional notions of love and connection.
It does.
And to be open to the possibility that soulmates can come in many forms.
It does. And speaking of possibilities, as we close this chapter, there's one question that lingers in my mind.
What's that?
Could Remaya and Tianjin's paths converge again in a romantic sense in the future? Or is their story ultimately one of enduring friendship?
That's the beauty of a story like this, isn't it?
Yeah.
It leaves us with a sense of wonder and the freedom to imagine what might be.
It does.
We've witnessed their connection endure through decades, through marriages, through all of life's ups and downs. Who knows what the future holds?
I guess we'll have to let our imaginations fill in the rest of the story.
Right.
But one thing is certain. The impact of Remaya and Tianjin's journey will stay with us long after we close this book. It's a powerful reminder to cherish the connections we have, to be brave enough to express our feelings, and to recognize that love, in all its forms, has the power to shape our lives in extraordinary ways.
Perfectly put. So until next time, keep diving deep into those thought-provoking books, movies, and experiences, and remember, there's always something new to discover.
It's a truly selfless act, but you have to wonder, is this really the end for them?
Well, as they say, life is full of surprises.